Revelation chapter 19 verses 1 through 10. Revelation chapter 19 verses 1 through 10. This is the reading of God's word. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous, for He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He was avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Then I fell at His feet to worship Him, but He said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing Your word. We ask that You would bless all of us, that we may hear Your word, that You would grant us an ear to hear Your word, so our faith will grow and we'll love You more and more. Through Your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what He has accomplished for us. And through Your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that Your word will be preached correctly. And we pray that all of us will believe and obey to bring glory and honor to You. O Father, receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We read Revelation 19, verses 1 through 10, and as you probably guessed, that we don't have enough time to look at these verses in detail. But we will look at these verses in their connection to the Lord's Supper. The book of Revelation, we studied together a long time ago. And if we were to talk about what was the purpose of writing the book of Revelation, well, it is written to give hope and joy to God's people who are undergoing much sufferings and persecutions. Obviously, there are many other purposes and reasons, but that's one of them, to give hope and joy to God's people who are suffering. The book of Revelation, it shows the end. And because it shows the end, it also shows the new beginning. It shows heaven, our eternal home. It shows the true picture of our salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. when you read the book of Revelation, it is very clear that this world is not everything. That there is another world, another reality that we are not able to see now with our physical eyes. And you and I, we must not live our lives as if this world is everything. Because if we look at this world only, then there will be no satisfaction. We will never be satisfied. No matter how much you have, I could show you another person who has more than you. No matter how healthy you are, I could show you some other person who is much more healthy than you. There's no satisfaction in this world. That's why when you see those rich people, they continue to do their best to get more. They're not satisfied. Because that's by God's design. Because of our sinful nature, the worldly things will never bring satisfaction. You might think you are satisfied, but that's only for a little while. Then after that, you go, wait a minute, I want more. This is not enough. This world, only discontentment, frustration. So we must see through the Word of God what our God has done and what He has accomplished for us. And if we look at what is happening in this world, it seems that the world is winning. It seems that our God is powerless. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to the Word of God and see the truth. Because what you see with your eyes, physical eyes, is not true. Only the Bible is the truth. The world can deceive you, and it often does. I invite you to come to the book of Revelation and see how everything ends. The last book of the Bible. And when you go to the last section of this book, the Revelations Revelation chapter 17 through 21, it ends at 22. But if you read chapters 17 through 21, it shows how everything ends in terms of two female figures. The first female, the great harlot, great prostitute, and the second female, the bride of the Lamb. As you know, the great harlot symbolizes this world, but the bride of the Lamb symbolizes the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, you. And when I say church, I'm talking about invisible church, the members of heaven. The great harlot, it shows that she enjoys in this world much wealth and glory. Glory of this world. But not only she enjoys the wealth and glory of this world, but she also persecutes the bride of the Lamb, the church. Chapter 17, verse 6. And I saw the woman, the great harlot, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Christ. So you could kind of see what that verse is saying. She's drunk with the blood of the believers. She persecutes the church. To borrow the expression of the psalmist, this great harlot The pride is her neckness. Necklace. Necklace. I can't even say that word. Necklace. Thank you. Pride. And do not understand this word pride in terms of worldly morals. Just the fact that she would not bow down to our God, that is pride. All non-believers, they don't bow down to God. They're so proud. But Book of Revelation shows that she is judged. The world is judged by God. She is destroyed. And this great harlot, according to chapter 17, verse 5, she is also called the Babylon the Great. She will be silenced. Now, the Book of Revelation describes the destruction that comes to this harlot, the judgment of God that comes to harlot, and it describes in terms of her being silenced. Complete destruction. No sound is heard among the ruins. Chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists, the musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you anymore, and no craftsman and of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill it will not be heard in you any longer. So, description that Bible gives us of her destruction is complete silence. Then we come to chapter 19. See, that was chapter 17 and 18 of Book of Revelation. So complete silence of great harlot. Then we come to chapter 19. Scene changes. Now it's no longer harlot that we see, but we see the bride of the Lamb. And she is in heaven. And in heaven, there is a great celebration, a great praise. And that's what we read in chapter 19. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And you keep reading, you will hear, hallelujah! Repeated many times. And everybody is worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants. And when you compare the two scenes, one the world, the other world, heaven. Complete difference. In heaven, our God is praised. And if you focus and believe, you could hear that praise in heaven. Because you are participating in that praise of heaven. Even as we gather here to worship our God. No, I'm not talking about audible. You don't really hear with your ears. You hear with your heart. with faith. Even right now, people are praising our God. You are an active participant of that praise, that celebration, that worship, even as you worship our God right now. And you could see from our text, all the purpose of God is consummated. The heavenly marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, if you go to a wedding, there's a wedding ceremony, then after that, reception. So marriage, then banquet. And in our passage, that is what we see. The heavenly marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb. The eternal heavenly banquet. You and I will sit at His table and eat and drink with Him. What is the picture? Sitting and eating and drinking. That's the picture of fellowship. I don't know if we're going to actually eat something or drink something in heaven, but that picture of eating and drinking together, that's fellowship. And I know that I'm going to have that sweet fellowship with my husband, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. The never-ending joyous fellowship of heaven with our God, that is completely consummated, as you could see in our text. On that day, there will be a wedding. See, when Bible talks about engagement, it's as good as wedding. See, in this world, when you are engaged with someone, but you didn't go through the wedding, they think that they could just annul that and meet someone else, but that's not how Bible teaches. You and I, we are engaged to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're waiting for that wedding day. And on that day, there will be a wedding. The husband is our Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride is His church, you and me. And on that wedding, there will be a marriage supper, marriage banquet. There will be worship, praise, and joyous heavenly fellowship with our God. And brothers and sisters, this worship that you are participating even now, and this Lord's Supper, witness that reality that we're talking about. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be able to see this reality through the eyes of your faith. If you don't, then you don't know what true blessings is really about. Do you see how you're already participating spiritually, yes, in that wedding and in that marriage supper? They are your present spiritual reality. And I'm not telling you to imagine things. I'm just telling you the truth. Because if you are imagining things, then that's a different story. But God's Word clearly shows us the reality of that glorious place. What is going on even now. And you are participating in that glorious reality. God is your husband. Isaiah 54 verse 5, for your husband is your maker. But all of us have abandoned this husband and we became harlots. We became prostitutes. In Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 20, God says, surely as a woman treacherously depart from her lover, so you have dealt treacherously with me, God says. Brothers and sisters, the story of the destruction of the great harlot in our passage, that makes sense to us. And if Bible ends with that story, the destruction of this great harlot, that makes sense to us. Obviously, you play prostitute with God. What you deserve is complete destruction. So until we read chapter 18, as this great harlot is destroyed, it makes complete sense. But what is amazing is that Bible doesn't end there. Because at the end of the Bible, we see the story of a wedding between Jesus and His church. That is how Bible ends. And as people who know how sinful we are, that is truly amazing to see that at the end of the Bible. Oh yeah, even if God just, Bible tells us that God destroyed the whole world, everybody went to hell and ends there. We say, that makes sense. Amazing grace. That it ends with the wedding. Jesus Christ and His bride, you. You and I, we have been the spiritual adulterers, and even if God abandoned us forever, we have nothing to say. When God abandoned us as adulterers, He's actually doing exactly what His law says. See, when He asked Hosea to go and marry a prostitute, we have to scratch our heads. Why is God telling Hosea to do exactly that is the opposite of what His law says? You cannot go and marry a prostitute. His law condemns it. And yet He tells Hosea to do this. Why? To show what He will do in Jesus Christ. So even if He abandons us, there's nothing we could say. We have to praise, saying your decision to abandon us forever, that's righteous decision. But Jesus, God, loved us, the spiritual adulterers. Our true husband loves us, the filthy sinners, to the end. He never abandons us. Even from the Old Testament, He has promised. Isaiah 62, verse 5, "And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord." To fulfill that promise, God Himself comes. God Himself comes as a man. Jesus Christ comes as a man to marry this filthy bride forever. But He washes her filth and her sins, He washes them with His blood. And He puts a beautiful wedding dress, His righteousness on her. Then He marries her forever and ever. And his love, he loves her forever and ever. And this is what our salvation is all about. Verse 7 and 8. I don't feel need to explain this with you, but let me say a few things, because 7 and 8 says, his bride has made herself ready, clothed herself in the fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Are these verses speak of salvation by works? Of course not. But let me explain a little bit. When you interpret a verse, you have to know the whole Bible. And you have to understand that verse in terms of the whole Bible. You cannot just take that one verse out, just completely out of context, and try to understand it. You will always fail. This bride of Christ, wearing a clean and bright, fine linen. And he says, the fine linens is the righteous acts of saints. Is it teaching the salvation by works? But if you read carefully, verse 8 tells us, that it was given to her to clothe herself in the fine linen. I mean, I hand out the print out the verses. You could read it yourself. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. That description goes against the popular understanding. Because if it was their good works they themselves did, then why does it say that it was given to her? Isaiah 64, verse 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. It's very clear. You cannot do good works according to the standard of God. All your righteous deeds are filthy garments, the Bible says. The bright and clean garment reminds us of the white robes that the residents of heaven wore in chapter 7. And there it reads, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you wash your clothes in blood, it will become red. But it says, because they washed their clothes with blood of the Lamb, it became white. It's symbolism. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, and there was given to each of them a white robe. Again, it was given to them. Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland. And a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So you put all that together, you cannot say it's teaching the salvation by works. We are clothed with Jesus Christ himself. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the bright and clean linen points to our union with our Lord Jesus Christ, our likeness to him. And in this sense, the righteous acts of the saints point to what kind of life they live, not their own righteousness that could save them, but because of their salvation, because of the grace of God, now they are faithful ultimately until death because they live by faith. Do you remember Antipas, the church in Pergamum? He calls him, Jesus calls him, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you. And also, as you know, Jesus' righteous acts are now considered our righteous acts. By faith. Now, let me end this. For 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Yes, through the Word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have been betrothed to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are engaged. We heard good words, good reputation of a man. It was through God's word, but we heard how good this person is. So you were interested. As a bride-to-be, you were very interested because you heard about this man. So you met him. You met him. Oh, then you fell in love. Yes. This man was a perfect man. So you fell in love and you married him. That's what happened to you if you're a Christian. How can you live your life as if you're not married? Can you even picture your wife, your husband, after marrying you, but he doesn't understand, she doesn't understand that they're married, so that they go out there and act like they live their lives as if they're single, that they were never married? What would be your response if your husband, your wife does that? But isn't that how you live? As if you're not married to our Lord Jesus Christ? Let me remind you again. You heard about him through God's word. You heard and you were interested. So you met him, you fell in love, and you got married. You don't remember? You don't remember marrying him? Is it why you act like you're single, that there's no husband for you? That you could just fool around with the world? You can't do that. You're married. Bible clearly tells us what has happened to us. So do not fool around out there. Ephesians 5, verse 31 and 32, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. You know, Paul says a man will leave his father and mother and join with a woman, and they will become one flesh. Then all of a sudden, Paul says, but I'm not talking about marriage between man and woman. I'm actually talking about Christ with his church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, or do you not know that one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. You are one spirit with Jesus Christ. You are one with Christ. So let me add to you what has happened to you, that story. You heard about this great man, and you were interested. You met him, and you fell in love, and you married him, and you and him became one. You need to understand what has happened to you. You cannot fool around with the world. You're married. And even spent the first honeymoon, the first night together with Christ. You and him are one spirit. Do you understand what has happened to you? And I pray that you will be able to see that your husband that you neglect so much, your husband is inviting you to his wedding feast every single moment of your life, especially right now. Your husband is inviting you to the wedding feast. And your husband is giving himself to you. He loves you. And if you understand clearly, you will have perfect satisfaction in your eternal husband. He will never disappoint you. And see the bread and the wine. Your sins have been paid for. Your sins have been forgiven. He died for you to marry you forever and ever. You know, for us, heaven without Jesus Christ is meaningless to us. I don't care how it is filled with jewelry and the stones and the whatever, the gold and without Christ, why is that heaven to us? Likewise, for Jesus Christ, there is no heaven without you. Even God's understanding, his knowledge, he knows no heaven without you. This is how much he and us will love one another. As you come to this table today, I want you to see how much your husband loves you. And there's no way that I could describe that love to you so that you will have that enough understanding. So I pray that the Holy Spirit, through his word, make you understand how much he loves you. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst, and He is a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Do you see your God, Jesus Christ? Because He loves you so much that He screams out because He's just so joyous because He loves you. You know, when you see a happy woman, I mean, I'm talking about genuinely happy. When you show me that happy woman, I will show you a woman who knows how much her husband loves her. Without any doubt, she knows how much her husband loves her. That's a happy woman. And if you don't know how much Jesus loves you, you will never be happy. I don't care how much you have out there. I don't care what it is. If you don't know Jesus' love for you, you will not be happy. And you should not be happy if you don't know. But see, He loves you. And the elements shows you how much He died for you. Psalm 45 verse 11, and then the king will desire your beauty. Because He is your Lord, bow down to Him. The king will desire your beauty. That you are so beautiful. And when He looks at you, He just He loves you so much. And there's no ability in me to perfectly describe that love to you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, make you understand. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. So there's that picture. Jesus and you. You behold His beauty. And Jesus desires your beauty. And I don't care how many movies or TV series of love. I don't care how many you saw. You cannot top this. When it comes to true love, when you see a beautiful woman and you're just mesmerized by her beauty and you just cannot not fall for her because she's so beautiful to you. This is how Jesus sees you, and this is how you see Him. This is the love between you and Christ. And He just shouts with joy. Because even God Himself cannot handle Himself because He loves you so much. Brothers and sisters in Christ, You could forget everything I taught you, or you don't even remember anything. That's fine. Just remember that. Jesus loves you, and you love him. This is our spiritual reality of heaven. Forever and ever, that's going to be true for us and for Jesus. Yeah, and tell your kids. When you go home, tell them how much Jesus loves them. And they know how much you love them. You tell them that Jesus loved them millions and millions and millions times more. You can't even put it into a number. Let them know. Jesus desires your beauty, the beauty that he has accomplished. And as you come to his table, behold his beauty. Complete, perfect joy is he to us, now and forever. You know, I say it's not on my manuscript, but because I said in the Korean worship, I want to say that to you. I ask myself, am I just saying this, or because I'm preacher, or do I really mean it? Because I have to be genuine. But I realize I cannot be genuine 100% because whatever genuineness I might have, it will be tainted with sin. But I can still say to you, I'm happy that I'm getting old. And I don't know why the world thinks that getting old is something bad. Today is one day closer to me seeing my Lord face to face. Tomorrow will be again one day ahead. You know what I'm talking about. And I want to show young people, getting old is a beautiful thing. Not because of anything else, but it's one day closer to see our Lord face to face. As soon as we see him, everything will be okay. It will be more than okay. You will not be able to control yourself because it just perfect joy and perfect peace. And I want you to see that reality as you come to his table, as he gives himself to you. Love him. Let us love him, knowing that he loves you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, no matter what happens, no matter what kind of situation that we're in, no matter how much we have, how much we don't have, no matter how healthy we are or not, even if our loved ones abandoned us, left us, whatever it might be, we're okay. No, more than okay. We're perfect because of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, work in us. Make us love Christ more and more. And it's that it will not be just lip service, but truly loving Him. And we look forward to that day. One day, when we see Him face to face, we will love Him. We will perfectly love Him. Oh, Father, we long for that day. And we ask You, come quickly, so that that day will be visibly consummated. And we're so sorry that we sin. We're sorry. Forgive our sins. We thank You and we love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.